So it's actually one chapter later. It is 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, "Ask what you wish me to give you." Then Solomon said, "You have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart towards you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne. And it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to number or to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice, behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days."
I want to thank Trace for the prayer and the scripture reading there. Now, as I was reading this week, and as I preached last week, the great name Jesus, and this week I was reading and came across this passage here and talking about Solomon, and it caught my eye as I was reading here at the time of David's death and what was going on. But he had said something to Solomon that caught my eye, and I wanted to comment on that, and because it was something that a father says to his son, and I've read this probably several times and never come across it. And that was in, it's in the second chapter, the first verse, is what I wanted to look at and what caught my eye. As in 1 Kings, the second chapter, beginning in verse 1, it says, "As David's time came to drew near, he time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying," and this is the verse that caught me as I was listening to it being read and looking at this. This is part of my reading throughout my week here. And it says, "I'm going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man," or become a man. And that caught my eye because it seems like all fathers tell their sons, "We want you to be a man." And when I talk about being a man, not that you are physically a man, but that you are mentally a man. You are strong, you become strong. And he tells him how to become strong. And hopefully all fathers here will tell their sons and now their daughters that they have to be strong. Be strong in what? And well, you look in the next verse there, he says, "Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn." So how are your sons and daughters going to succeed? Well, in our society today, the only way they're going to succeed is how? Well, we say, you've got to go to college. You've got to get a certain job, da, 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 da. But how does David say Solomon's going to succeed? If he keeps the commandments of the Lord, the statutes, then he puts that first in his life, then he will succeed. As you see that last part of that verse 3, and it says, "That you may succeed in all that you do and everywhere you turn." So there's going to be success. Is there going to be downfalls? Yeah. But if you keep the commandments of the Lord, then you're going to succeed in everything that you do. So that was something that caught my eye. And now, so I'm going into the life of Solomon. And what can we learn from that? As we see in Romans 15th chapter, verse 4, and then it talks about those things that are written aforetime was written for our learning. And then 1 Corinthians 10th chapter says, these examples were set that you may learn from these examples. So he was talking about those in the old law, those under the law of Moses, those that they were able, that we're able to look back and learn from them. The bad things they've done and the good things that they've done. And there's a good example. Well, and then as you come into the time of Christ, we have him as an example also. And then as you look into Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and then also beginning the first few verses of chapter 12, it says that we have such a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, we have so many witnesses that God performed and took care of his people. And that he will, the people going forward that are obedient, that live such a life as those under the old covenant did, those that walk the old ancient pathways. So that was something that we can remember as we study today and as we study the Old Testament. The Old Testament's full of jewels that we can get from, learn from. Proverbs, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the minor prophets. There's so many things in those that we can learn and help us be stronger in the faith. So those things that were written aforetime, remember, those were written for us. And also talks about that the old law was a schoolmaster. It taught us, it brought us to Christ. It showed us that we have sin and that we need a Savior. And that helps us understand the New Testament. So in Solomon's time, he became one of the greatest kings. None came before him, as this scripture reading was read. The wisdom given him was like no one before and no one after. So that should tell us that this man had great knowledge and he could help us throughout our lives, which he did his people. He was at peace with all the countries. He had complete dominion. And also under him, we read about the promises being fulfilled about that God had promised Abraham back in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, that there would be their seed would be innumerable. There would be as many as the stars in the sky or the sea, sand on the seashore. It would not be able to be counted. So that was fulfilled there also. And it was under the leadership or under the reign of Solomon that came to that time. And then David had succeeded in conquering all those around him and gave Solomon a kingdom already set up. Well, what else did Solomon do? Well, his riches were so great. If you go over to the 10th chapter of 1 Kings, you can read some of his riches and what they were. And it was more than anyone else had ever seen. It says in verse 14, it's the 1 Kings, the 10th chapter, it says, now the weight of gold which came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traders and the rares of the merchants and all the kings of the Arabs and the governors of the country. And then so it goes, if you read all that, you talk about, see how much he had. And you go down to the verse 24, it goes a little bit deeper than just those physical riches which he had. If you read some of it in Chronicles and talks about how rich he was, there was so much silver that everyone had it. It was as plentiful as stones that they found, that you would find. There was so much silver and gold in that city or in the Solomon's reign or kingdom. But in verse 24, it comes about the most important thing here that you think about Solomon. It says, all the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. So there was people coming from all over the world to see the greatness of Solomon, his wisdom. And we are told about the first thing concerning his wisdom, about the two women and the death of a baby. If you remember, one fighting over the other baby, and then finally Solomon said, well, here, we'll just do it this way. We'll just cut them in half. And you can have this one and the other one have. And the mother says, no, let him live. So Solomon's wisdom was the mother will not let her child be taken from her or be killed. So that was his wisdom there. And if you remember Queen Sheba, the Queen of Sheba came to see the greatness of Solomon. She said, I've only seen, only heard, what I've heard has only been part of your greatness. And so she brought him many gifts and everything of that nature. So as Solomon goes throughout his life, we see that he is an upright man. But something happens to Solomon. If we go over to, here in the Kings, go over to the, let's see. Well, I'm going to get make sure I get down. And over to the 11th chapter, we see, we've talked up all the way through this, these 10 chapters as you read. We could have read all through them, but I'm going to let you do that for your homework assignment so you can read those first 11 chapters or first 10 chapters. But the 11th chapter tells us what happened. What was Solomon's downfall? Beginning let's see, in verse 1, it says, "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, 'You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away from after other gods.' Solomon held fast to these in love." And he goes on and says that he had 700 wives and princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as David his father had been." So we see that he'd done exactly what God had told him not to do. Had told the children of Israel, the men of Israel, "Don't give your daughters to the people of the land. Don't give your sons to those daughters, or don't take the daughters from them Canaanites or the people of the land. Don't associate with them." And why did he want that? Because he was afraid that they would be tempted by their gods and that they would go after those gods, which Solomon did. And as you read on further about the history of Solomon, he built temples everywhere. But he had also built the temple of God. He had spent 20 years building his house and the temple. And he had made a treaty or a covenant with King Hiram, and he brought all the wood and things that he needed, and also the manpower that he needed to do that. So those things were great under Solomon, but he had one thing. He went after foreign women, and it was his downturn. It's what took him away from God. It said he continued to worship God, but he also worshiped these other gods. So as we go and read and study about the history of Solomon, we look to the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is one of my favorite books because it looks at life. And Solomon had more wisdom than any other man. Turn over to the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. And go down to about verse 10. I think it is. Nope, on a little bit further down. In verse 12. It says, "I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task with which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind." So Solomon, in all his wisdom, tried to figure out everything and what man needed to survive upon the earth. He tried everything. He tried riches. He tried honor. He tried foreign women. He tried gods. But as you study the 12th or the book of Ecclesiastes, and you can go, we'll go down through a few of them because I don't want to take a whole lot of time because I want to get to my point. But he talks about in every chapter, look at those chapters. He talks about in verse the third chapter in verse 11 has something very important he has learned and that we should also learn. It says, "He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet that so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end." So he has placed into man's heart eternity, man searching for something, and being able to find that. And that's eternity. So man has always had in his heart to search for something. And you see people throughout your community, throughout our land, people that you know, they're always looking for something. That job that they have, well, it's not, they want to go someplace else, a little higher. They're not satisfied. And Solomon talks about that. He says a rich man's never satisfied. He's always hungry. And you kind of think, well, what do you mean by hungry? Well, he's talking about his mind. He's always trying to get more. Or he's worried that somebody's going to take it. He's concerned about that. And he talks about the futility of life, how everything, a rich man, a poor man, a evil man, all had the same thing in common. And that's their appointed time to leave the earth. So he says, what's life? And he goes on and talks about making vows to God. Don't make a vow unless you're going to take it. He said, better not to even make a vow. And he also goes on in like the 9th chapter, in about the 11th verse, another verse that kind of gives you a little overlook. It says, again, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability. For what? For time and chance overtake them all. So it's chance, it's time. And he also talks about there's a time for this, a time for that. And we all know that. And he gets down to the latter part of the book. He talks about what is important. I've looked at all these things, but they never satisfy me. They never satisfy men. But is there anything that can satisfy man? Can give man a hope? Can give man discernment? Can give man wisdom? Well, as many of you may know, he talks about in the 12th chapter, he says, he starts out, if you're young, but you keep getting older and older, as the first few verses talked about, teeth, talks about the hair, talks about being afraid of heights, and things of that nature. He says, those things go away. He said, it come quickly, too. And many of us that are in our 50s, 60s, can remember the first day we went to work. I retired out of the Plasterers Union in 2014, but I went back to work. I didn't stay retired. But I had a kid come up and told me, he said, man, I wish I was in your position. I said, maybe, maybe not. But if I was in your position, I would do a lot of things different because I'd be younger and I could look back over the dumb things that I've done. The bad investments, the bad advice that I gave, or whatever it may be, or the bad moves I've made. I said, yes, that's good, but then again, think of it this way. Your life's past you. But you can also, I can remember the very first job that I worked on. And why, I don't know. But I can remember where it was at and what I did. And a lot of you probably are the same way. You can remember that first job or that first check you got. You can remember those jobs that you done for nothing almost and wonder how you survived. But you did. You didn't think you were going to survive back then, but you did. And there were the things that we set up and worried about and never got sleep because we worried about them. And what happened a week or 2 days later or 2 weeks later? It's gone. It's no big deal. But at the time, it was. So Solomon says, you go through all these things, but what's going to give you hope? Well, we'll look at the last few verses of this chapter, of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. And a lot of you know this, even by heart, maybe know it when I read it or remember it. It says, in addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered and searched out and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, this him speaking to us, he says, but beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is weary to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. So Solomon spent his whole life looking for what may give him hope, what may satisfy him. And I think it kind of looks here as every man or every older person, woman, man, whichever it may be, thinks back, look at all the dumb things I'd done. And I only had to do one thing. I've tried all these things, but look, the conclusion is I knew it all along. But I wanted to try everything else. I wanted to try and find hope or find satisfaction in all these things. But Solomon is kind of funny. He says, man, you know what? None of this mattered. None of these things that I went through, all these foreign women, all these riches, all these honors that I have, it didn't matter. There's only one thing that matters. That's fear God and keep His commandments. Because we're going to be called into account for whatever it is, good or evil. So I wanted us to look at that, and then I'm going to hit you a couple verses here in the New Testament. That, how can we learn from this? What can we learn from this? Well, it's pretty self-evident. Fear God and keep His commandments. But how it's going to help us today, under the Christian age. We see several things written in the New Testament that helps us. As I was listening to class here as Rich was going through, and it was just, there's verses that he was going through. There's verses that Paul wrote in different letters that go right along with that. And it was so, it's so great to be able to read something that has no contradictions in it. That everything flows together. And like, one of the verses I thought of was Matthew 11, chapter, verse 28, where we learn from Jesus. He says, there in that 11th chapter, let's turn over and we'll read that. And I believe this is one of Shirley's favorite verses, if I remember correctly. Beginning in verse 28, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So this is, Solomon said, this is easy, there's easy. Remember your Creator. What did Jesus say? Follow me. It's easy. He said, you're weary, you're heavy laden. You put all these things upon your shoulders when you don't need to. There's rest for the weary. He said, take my yoke and learn from me. Learn from me. Learn from the example that I set. He said, my burdens is light. My yoke is easy. It's easy to do. And another place is in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and verses 4 through 7. Learn about how Paul spoke of love, what love is, and what love is not. What's important to you today? To love your neighbor as yourself, to love your God first, with all your might, all your strength, and all your heart. And then go to, Paul talks about in Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verses 22 through 24, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And he lists all those things. But let's go over it, because the last verse, it has a very important part, last part of that verse 24, there in verse 5, or chapter 5, I'm sorry. I mean, verse 23, that's where he talks about that, and he gets in at the end of this, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and he lists joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then this last part says, against such things, there is no law. You can do as much of it as you want. You're not going to be sinning if you give too much joy, if you give too much peace. He said, there's no law against it. You can give as much as you want. You can do as much as you want. And then the last one I'll look at before I close up the lesson is in 2 Peter, the first chapter. And this another one, this is another verse that is so easy to remember, that is remembered by all of us. But But sometimes we need to look at it again to make sure we're doing that. And beginning about the third verse of the first chapter, it says, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So we have all things. We don't have to search no more. As Solomon searched, as we did throughout all our lives, we don't have to search. And you young people, you don't have to search. We're showing you where it's at. So God has given us all things we need to live righteously, all things pertaining to life and godliness. And then if you go on down to the fifth verse, that same chapter, it says, and this helps all Christians. It says, now for this reason, apply all diligence to your faith. Supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. Your self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you do these things, you understand the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. You understand his examples. You understand his life upon this earth. You understand why he went to the cross. And then going on to verse 9, it says, but this kind of gives you a little warning. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted. Why? He's forgotten the purification of his former sins. So in verse 10, he says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So, all these things. No longer you need to search to be satisfied. God has given us all we need to be satisfied. All these things here in 2 Peter that he talks about. If you are continuing to grow in truth and in knowledge and in virtue, you're guaranteeing your eternal life if you continue in this thing. So that's so important that we keep going over it. It said, make sure of your calling. And we've been given, and we can know if we're in a saved condition or not. We know ourselves. Nobody else may know, but we know what our life is. Between us and God, we know where we stand. So this morning, I want you to think on these things. And it helped this congregation grow stronger and firmer in faith as we work together for the furtherance of Christ in this community. That's what's going to help us grow if we keep building ourselves up in wisdom and in knowledge. And taking the examples that have been given to us throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, and example of Jesus and the life he lived. So if you're not a Christian, you're searching. You're still hoping for something. The only victory you're going to find is in Jesus Christ. That'll be all your victory. And the life goes from here upward. And as a Christian, if you kind of slacked off and kind of fell behind, and kind of, Brother Rich talked about in his class this morning, kind of liking these other things a little better now. When you had put them away once before, but now you're trying to do them again, have you truly repented of those things? No, you haven't. You need to put away those things in life. So if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?